Today's sermon is entitled, We Will Be Building a New Heaven and a New Earth Now. Steve opened our time for meditation with an absolutely stunning song by Gungor called Beautiful Things. In the music video for the song, there are several main characters who are stuck in bad choices. They are living in sin and sadness, and then they make a choice to do something new. The choice is encouraged by a young girl who walks around the city with her Converse sneakers tied up and a Polaroid camera, and she takes pictures. When she looks at someone, she sees the beauty that God sees. The individuals in the video smile, and she hands them their Polaroid. As the film develops before their eyes, each character sees how they can be made new. I believe that each of us here longs to be recreated, to be reminded that we are not the bad choices of our past, but filled with the promise and possibilities of becoming a new creation. I make mistakes all the time. But the fact that God has God's eye on me, lifts me up, and points me towards a new creation helps me renew my contract with God, my family, the church, and the community I inhabit to be the best I can be. Our scripture reading for today is set in Jerusalem. At the time when Isaiah was writing, there was so much sorrow in the streets. Babies and their mothers went hungry. War reigned and suffering was rampant. The people hungered for a word of hope, and Isaiah speaks of a vision God has for them. In God's vision, there will be a new heaven and a new earth where all things in Jerusalem were made right. My invitation to each of us tonight is to be part of the visionary team of rebuilding the world. Our cities and towns, our rural villages, they all have problems, challenges, injustices, the unhoused, the unemployed, the hungry, and the poor. Here's the good news. We can do something about it. We can work together in small and large ways to participate in the building of a new heaven and a new earth. This invitation to be building could lead to offering to build for a day at Habitat for Humanity, or provide snacks if you don't know how to build. I don't know how to build. On a site on a Tuesday or a Saturday. Building is ongoing. We help out in our giving to support the Cape Cod Council of Churches, where we provide meals under the direction of my good friend Jenny Wheeler over at Faith Family Kitchen. If you're over 18 and want to get involved in cooking with Jenny, let me know and I can get you connected. We have a food pantry basket right here in the entrance to the meeting house, which our very own Sarah Wyatt delivers. You don't even have to deliver it. Sarah does it. She's amazing. Grab some healthy snacks and pantry basics when you're doing your regular shopping and just drop it in the basket. I used to be the director at a baby center in Hyannis, and people tend to remember those in need from Thanksgiving to Christmas. And then the donations drop off. Let's be part of the year-round assistance team for those in need. I believe that building a new heaven and a new earth is going to take more than showing up at a build or bringing snacks, although that's awesome. We're going to have to disrupt forces that have left too many folks with so little, while a few have excess wealth. Jesus wanted justice. Jesus taught of a revolutionary love where the children come first and the orphan and the widowed are not left outside of the fold of the beloved community. One way we can start building a beloved community where a new heaven and a new earth reign is by the simple, radical act of kindness. We long to be heard and truly heard. What if we tried to listen to others? To hear others tell of their pain, their struggle, their loneliness. In the listening, in the learning, in the loving, we can transform the world. It's called kindness. We can practice this listening everywhere we go. In the streets, at work, in the grocery store, at coffee hours. What's the music beneath people's words? Let us be kind. On Wednesday, November 13th, was World Kindness Day. Who knew? Everybody was wearing their cardigans, celebrating Mr. Rogers. I mean, who doesn't love Mr. Rogers? Now, I love all the World Days. And yet, I believe kindness is something we need to work on every day. Dr. Kimberly Patton delivered the multi-religious commencement address at Harvard on May 26, 2016. In her address, The Power of Kindness, Patton speaks of the disruptive power of kindness. She says, kindness is so often dismissed as the anemic, saccharine twin of its more robust siblings in the terminology of world religions. Compassion in Buddhism, mercy in Judaism and Islam, and love in Christianity. Worse, kindness is often seen as a cowardly way to duck agonizing ethical dilemmas that involve the surrender of power, privilege, or capital, or to ignore systematic violence against female, brown, child, or gay and transgender bodies, or to hack the gnarly challenge of injustice while racking up gold stars just for being nice. But kindness isn't niceness. It is instead a powerful and subversive thing. It is something that anyone can perform, even if she cannot bring herself to feel compassion or mercy or love. His Holiness the Dalai Lama has said many times, "My religion is very simple. My religion is kindness." Addressing a conference on family in Rome on 2013, His Holiness Pope Francis did not push away a little boy about 4 years old who ran onto the stage and sat on his chair and was hugging the pontiff's robes. Even as the cardinals tried to bribe him back with candy, but instead tenderly rested his hand on the top of his head for the rest of his remarks. Patton goes on to tell the story of an Arab-American poet, Naomi Shihab Nye, who wrote a powerful poem about kindness, describing what happened after she was stranded alone on a bus in Colombia, and the bus she was on was attacked, and one of her fellow passengers was murdered. Naomi was adopted and protected by a street gang who kept her safe, feeding her rolls until her husband was able to find her several weeks later. Listen to the power of kindness in Naomi Shihab Nye's poem, Kindness. Before you know what kindness really is, you must lose things, feel the future dissolve in a moment like salt in a weakened broth. When you held in your hand what you counted and carefully saved, all this must go on so you know how desolate the landscape can be between the regions of kindness. How you ride and ride thinking the bus will never stop, the passengers eating maize and chicken will stare out the window forever before you learn the tender gravity of kindness. You must travel where the Indian in a white poncho lies dead by the side of a road. You must see how this could be you, how he too was someone who journeyed through the night with plans and the simple breath that kept him alive. Before you know kindness as the deepest thing inside, you must know sorrow as the other deepest thing. You must wake up with sorrow. You must speak to it till your voice catches the thread of all sorrows and you see the size of the cloth. Then it is only kindness that makes sense anymore. Only kindness that ties your shoes and sends you out into the day to mail letters and to purchase bread. Only kindness that raises its head from the crowd of the world to say, "It is I you have been looking for," and then goes with you everywhere, like a shadow or a friend. Poetry captures elements of what it means to be human that prose simply cannot. I can almost taste Naomi's sorrow as she writes, "Before you know kindness as the deepest thing inside, you must know sorrow as the other deepest thing." Kindness is what kept her alive when she was living on the streets, protected by a street gang. Kindness has kept many of us alive when easy answers failed and fake smiles cannot hide how difficult life really is. Practicing kindness is radical. It's hard to do. Just think about when things immediately set your blood pressure boiling and make you angry. And then exhale and practice being kind. It's a practice. I am working on it. I am not perfect at it or even that good. I'm trying. Practice kindness with yourself. Treat yourself with the same love you always wanted. Even if your parents weren't that kind of gentle, loving parent, when you were weary and tired and sick, just draw a bath. Take a nap. Rest your soul. We will be building a new heaven and a new earth with kindness and justice, with action and love. We cannot wait for someone else to do the work because we are the ones we have been waiting for. Banksy, the remarkable graffiti artist, reminds us, if you get tired, rest. Don't quit. I'm going to say it again. If you get tired, rest. Don't quit. While I usually close my sermons with what Jesus said, today I will close my sermon with His Holiness the Dalai Lama, who teaches, be kind whenever possible. It is always possible. Amen.